Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to a milestone episode of the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. This is the 250th episode. And as always, I'm really delighted to have another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So, hey, Adriana, it's so exciting to have you on this special episode. How are you doing?
Hey, Pam, I'm great. Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's I know you're on the West Coast, so I know it's been like blazing hot for you guys for quite a while.
Yeah.
I'm on the East Coast, and like I can't wait for this 90 degree weather to end.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I like fall better than summer, but I think I'm not ready for it yet. Like our trees are starting to change color already, and I'm like, oh my god. But anywho, so to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy?
Yeah, and again, thank you for having me. My name is Adriana Flowers. And I am 23 years old, and I grew up in Honduras, where my mom's family's from. But I've been living here in Oregon for about 5 years, and I'm currently a graduate student studying or pursuing a master's in public administration, and I'm expected to graduate next year. And when I'm not studying, I like to do hiking or doing outdoor things and spending time with family and friends. And yeah, I've been advocating for the NSA or people who stutter for about 4 years now. So I like to do that and appear on like podcast or on or like on the International Stuttering Awareness Day webinar. So yeah, I'm always excited to do these kinds of talks with other people who stutter. And I think it's important for us women to share that.
Exactly, because as we both know, the majority of people who stutter are men. And yeah, one out of five are women. And sometimes our voices are overlooked. So that's why it's important to, you know, hear our stories, because there's many women across the world that think that they're the only one. So this is wonderful. So for listeners, I was very intrigued with Adriana's paper that she has submitted for October's International Stuttering Awareness online conference, where Adriana talks about her current job. So could you tell us a little bit about that and what drew you into customer service?
Yeah, so I've been working with my university health center's job for about a year and a half. And what drew me into it was the aspect of being able to help people, because this is not a regular like customer service job. This is one where we were calling students that had tested positive for COVID or were contacts, and giving them resources. And this was like at the height of the pandemic. So what really drew me in was I could make a difference in my campus and in the community around me, especially for students and faculty and staff. And I just happened to be looking at job postings, and I saw that, and it just it drew me in. And even though it said there, like, you know, you're gonna have to call or have good communication, I just decided to apply anyway, and I got interviewed, like, I think it was the month after. And in the interview, it was a group interview, which I had never done before. And in the group interview, when they asked me to introduce myself, I said, my name is Adriana, Adriana Flowers. And then I said, and I'm a person who stutters. And then I talked about, at the time, like, I was in undergraduate. So I thought that was a really good way to start off. And then after everyone introduced themselves, one of the coordinators, she said, my father has a stutter too. So and she mentioned that. So I thought that that was cool that I had the, like, she was mentioning that lots of things that people had in common with her and with the group. So I thought it was really nice that at least someone knew that, like, or like has personal experience with stuttering. And then I found out I was hired like a couple weeks afterwards. And I haven't looked back since. And I've been working with them, like I said, for almost 2 years now. And while there's been less calls I've had to do, I still feel that I did a big, that I have done a big and a positive impact on the community, especially when students were having, like, it was just a confusing time for everyone. So I'm glad I was able to provide clarity for students that had, that were like, I can't go to class and my professors aren't being accommodating, and then I would have to, or I need groceries. So it always felt good to be able to help. And I, thankfully, I didn't have to deal with too many bad interactions because it was mostly students, but if I did, I knew how to handle it. And but I think the I've done a lot better, and I've gotten a lot more confident in my speaking skills. I know I tend to participate more in class, which I would not do before, but now I just, if I want to participate, I will. I won't keep my hand down if I know what I want to say.
Oh gosh, that's amazing. Particularly because you're so young. I mean, there are so many people twice your age that are just not at that level of acceptance yet. So definitely you're a great role model.
Thank you.
For younger women as well, being a preteen and, you know, a teenager, you know, anything that you have, you know, makes you stand out, and you get subject to all of, you know, the teasing and stuff. So, you know, it's good to see a young person with a difference, you know, being absolutely okay with that. So kudos to you. When you were doing the call center work, did you advertise to the people you were calling that you stutter, or did it ever come up?
I actually did not disclose before I called, because it would just be a quick, actually some of the calls could be longer, but I never felt the need to advertise or tell them I am a person who stutters, because there's a lot of information we had to go through with them, like confirming who I'm talking to, and then information on their COVID status and all that. There were times where I did have to tell people because I got questions, or I had someone ask me, and I quote, what is wrong with my voice, or if I was nervous. So there I had to explain to them. That's just, I told them I have a stutter, or I would say speech impediment, because sometimes I do get stuck on the word stutter, but I never disclosed it to people before we started the call, because there was a lot of information that, like I mentioned, I had to go through privacy and get their consent before I could start talking to them, and then just ask a lot of questions, and it can be overwhelming for them in the first place to have COVID or be a contact, and then for me to be asking all those questions. And for me, the last thing I wanted to do was tell them something that was that, I mean, I didn't know how people were gonna react, but I never felt that it was a problem. And like I mentioned, not that many people pointed it out, and if they did, I would tell them what was happening, because but I am pretty happy to say that I haven't experienced any discrimination in the workplace. They've been nothing but supportive, so I feel pretty good about that, and I feel glad that I don't have to disclose as often, and I know that if I do, people would be supportive of it. Yeah.
Now, you said that one of the people that you spoke with said, like, what's wrong with your voice? And then you explained to them that you stutter. How did they react to that when you told them?
If I recall correctly, all they said was like, oh, okay. Because it was, I think, I don't know if I used the word stutter, because I think this was there was a language barrier. So I don't know if people know in other places what a stutter is. So sometimes I said, I just have a speech problem or speech impediment. And I was particularly nervous during that call. I'm not sure why, because I think it was because when I can understand what people are saying, or when they have a hard time understanding me because of a language barrier or stuff like that, I get a little more nervous. And then the other instance where I called someone and then they picked up and I said, hello, my name is Adriana. I'm calling from the University of Oregon care team. Am I speaking to whoever? I did stutter quite a little bit. And he was like, are you okay? Are you nervous? And he kind of like did a nervous laugh. And I just said, no, I have a speech impediment. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, anyway, I'm here to call you about this. So that was a bit awkward, but I told them, because I think for me it's better to tell them the truth, and because it's not that I would be lying if I didn't say anything, but I like to be upfront with people if they have those questions, because even though they weren't making fun of me, I want to be upright with people who do make fun of me and say, hey, this is not okay. So I always respond, and because I don't tolerate disrespect towards me or other people who stutter. And the person wasn't nice after that. I think they were a little embarrassed after they asked me, but I was not upset or anything. I just told them that's just how I talk, or I have a stutter. So,
Yeah, it's funny, like sometimes that's happened to me, like more over the phone than in person, but you know, I'll stutter on, you know, whatever, and somebody will say, what, did you forget where you work, or you know, and so I'll
did you forget your name?
I hate that one, you know, and it always surprises me that adults will say that or do that.
Yeah. But,
you know, when I say I know my name, I stutter, and then it seems like they get mortified, you know, and apologize.
Yeah, like oh shoot. And they're like, I'm so sorry.
Exactly. And yeah. Like you, I wasn't intending to embarrass the person, but
yeah,
you know, I wanted them just to know.
Letting them know that's not correct to say.
Right.
It's not it's not a funny joke.
Exactly. And like sometimes, you know, when I've had people say, like, what, did you forget your name? I'll say, no, did you?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean that's
one.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a good comeback line, because then I'm in control, you know, like and I'm showing that I'm confident, you know, and I think that's like one of the most important things that we who stutter, we need to show that we're okay with our stutter, because that will lead them to see that, well, if she's okay with it, I'm going to be okay with it too. But there's so many opportunities for awkward moments, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I've had experiences when talking to people in person where they've made comments like that. And I have explained to people, but I was surprised in my customer service job, or not customer service, but in my school's job, it's been rare that I've had questions like that. So I think it's just people are just more, they can't see my face. So they could just think that the line's cutting out, which is one of my other favorites. Oh, it seems like you're cutting out. And I'm like, no. That's just how I talk. But so it's challenging, because I also don't want to come off as being rude when I'm not. All I'm doing is just being, I'm just telling them, and the fact that they feel like they have to apologize is that makes it harder too, because I'm like, no, I wasn't saying it in a bad way. All I was saying was, you know, that's just how I talk.
So you said you're majoring in business administration,
public administration. So I eventually want to work in like maybe the nonprofit field, or like the public sector, like let's say state or local government. So I'm pretty flexible with that. And for undergraduate, I did global studies, which is kind of like international studies, but they changed the name at my school, so I guess it's global studies now. It was definitely challenging at first to go into grad school, because this was last fall when things were opening back up and we were still required to wear our masks on campus, which is fine, but it was hard for me because it's a barrier, and sometimes it was like, I can't hear you, and then I was like, oh my goodness, or like it's a lot harder to speak with the mask on, and I talk quietly in louder situations. I don't like to feel like I'm screaming at people. But it was definitely a challenge, and it was like I have to learn how to interact with people again. Like, that sounds so strange, but I had a hard time. I was like, how do I like make a conversation, because I hadn't done that in person for so long. But it's my last year, and I want to make the most out of it and hopefully enjoy and see what's to come. So
Yeah. Well, it definitely sounds like you have an exciting future ahead of you.
Yeah, I do.
Speaking about the mask, one of the things that I found particularly difficult, besides breathing in it, because I just found that hard, and like I wear cheater glasses. So like some, you know, like, you know, it's true that they would really fog up your glasses when you were breathing. But what I found like awkward was like wearing a mask and speaking and, you know, stuttering. Nobody could see my facial expression. Like they couldn't see, like if I was stuck or in a block, like they didn't know, you know, all they knew was that there was an unusual pause and they couldn't, you know, and I just found that like kind of awkward. I think it just,
Oh, definitely.
It took like some of our like persona away because people weren't seeing us. They were just seeing, you know, a person with a mask. So, but I know what you mean. Like for so long we were on Zoom or anywhere that we went, we had to wear a mask. So I kind of get what you're saying. Like you have to relearn how to have regular conversations again.
Yeah. And even though I did buy the mask that said I stutter, that one, I had problems with it because you couldn't like see the whole message, or it was too loose for me, so I had to like make it tighter and people couldn't see the whole thing. But I think but I did get lots of positive comments on that mask. I had people think it was really cool to have that, so I still have it actually here. I thought I lost it and I was so mad. I was like, no, I lost this cool mask, but I have it. I actually found it a couple days ago and I was like, Mom, I found my stutter mask. And it was like, I thought I lost it and I was going to be so sad, but
yeah.
Then I was like, after that, how am I going to tell people that I stutter? Because they won't be able to see it on my face.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, English is your second language, I'm presuming.
No, I actually learned both Spanish and English at the same time. So I do consider them both my first languages because I don't have any, like, I speak them both equally at the same, like, level. Yeah.
So do you stutter equally in both languages?
I would actually say I feel like I stutter more in Spanish, which is weird. Even though I learn them both at the same time, I find myself stuttering more in Spanish. And my dad says, no, you stutter in them both equally. But I feel like I stutter more in Spanish. I can't tell you why, because I'm not sure. It could just be it's like you have to talk faster, or it could be a thing where people are less patient, or they just don't know much about stuttering in Spanish. But I noticed that whenever I do speak Spanish, I have a little more trouble, and I do still practice it with my mom, and I don't think it's ever going to go away, like or like that I'm not going to know or be able to speak it. But if I find that I haven't spoken it as much because I haven't been around people who speak it, then I might be like forgetting how to say stuff, or be more hesitant or be more nervous. So I think that's what can make me stutter more. It's not that I forgot how to speak it, it's just I don't speak it as often, and maybe some words come to mind, I'm like, oh wait, that's the word for it, or I like don't know what the word is, and I feel like I'm like hesitating quite a bit. But it's a pretty interesting thing that even though I learned both of them at the same time, I feel like I stutter more in Spanish, and I can't tell you exactly why. It's just
interesting, something.
Or maybe that's what I perceive, and in reality I stutter equally in both, because that's what my parents say. So and I've been living with them for the past couple months, or I grew up with them, obviously. So maybe that is true, but I just don't. I see it in a different way. So it's pretty interesting because I think people whose first language isn't English, they stutter more in English because they learned it afterwards.
Right.
I also learned a little bit of French in college. I still need to practice that. That was actually my minor. And I do stutter a lot more because I am kind of losing all that. But it's also like some words can be hard or some like the way you like with the accents. And that's the thing with Spanish is the accents could make it harder for me to say it. And like, you have to say it with an accent because if not, you're saying something completely different and it could be taken out of like writing it is fine. But whenever I have to speak it and say it with an accent, like Spanish or English, I have to say it with an accent because if not, it's a totally different word. Like the word for father in Spanish is papa, and it has the accent with the A, but if you don't say it like that, it means potato. Or if you spell it without the accent, it's like my potato, or it's like it's say mi papa, my dad, like not mi papa, because that's like so sometimes I have to remember to like, oh, I should do the accent. All right, so maybe that's why it could be a challenge, because I know I have to say it in a certain way, or if not, people will be like, what?
That's really my favorite example. I mean, that's a great example. I would never have known that. So you've just taught us all an interesting lesson. I wanted to ask, you've mentioned your mom and dad about stuttering. Like you said, they don't, you know, they've told you they don't notice it more in one way or the other. And you told your mom that you found your mask. So they're very supportive of you, obviously, with stuttering, right?
Yeah. And at first, it was hard for them. I began stuttering when I was 8 years old. And it doesn't run in the family that I know of, so obviously they were very confused, and they didn't know what to do. I mean, it's for a parent whose kid starts stuttering, it's something new, so I don't blame them for not knowing what was happening. And there weren't enough resources where I grew up in Honduras. Like I think in other countries outside the U.S. those resources are not really available, or stuttering isn't studied as much. But I've taught them more, especially after going to the NSA conferences, like about, you know, finishing sentences for me, which I think people do all the time in general. Like I myself even do it to people. I'm like, I probably shouldn't do that, because then I get mad when people do that for me. But they're very supportive. They like that I go to the conferences and that I do self-advocacy, and they support me 100%. They like to see it, and I'm having a good time at the conferences and stuff. And
nice.
But it was definitely hard because I didn't know what was happening. No one knew what was happening. And when you try all these different stuff like speech therapy or like speech camps, I don't like to call them camps because it sounds strange, but when you try all these different things and I'm still stuttering, and they see how frustrated I am and how I can't get the words out, or the presentation went terrible. Like it's hard as a parent, especially if you don't experience that yourself, or you haven't had someone who's experienced that. But now I've taught them more about like self-advocacy and how I'm comfortable with it, and how I don't need to be fluent, because I mean that's essentially what we've all been taught at certain speech therapy or by society is you should be fluent. If not, you're not normal. But now it's more of like, I mean, yeah, I would love to be fluent in certain situations, like when I'm introducing myself, but I still have a lot of, like, I shouldn't just see that about me. There's more qualities I have. And yeah, fluency would be nice, but I still have a very nice, a very good personality. And if it wasn't for stuttering, I wouldn't have met other people in the community too.
Right.
I think I'm kind of, I think I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but yeah, but they have been very supportive and they want what is best for me. So they always encourage me to like advocate. And I actually had my dad read that paper that I submitted for like corrections and stuff. And he was, and then I told them my submission was accepted. He was very happy about that. So I'm excited for him to look at that too. I'll have to show him how to look at that, but yeah. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's easier for children whose parents or other people in their family stutter because they know. So I feel like when I do end up having kids, if they start stuttering or anything, I will know how to support them and I will better understand. And I just can't imagine what my parents had to go through, because it wasn't something like, I guess it was something I just, it just happened. It's not like some kids who, since they could talk, they've had it. But so I really do give them a lot of credit for learning about this, because it must have been easy for their, it must not have been easy for their only child to start stuttering and to come home from school crying because a kid was making fun of me, right? I was crying because I just can't get the words out. So I really do appreciate the support, and I would be frustrated as well. So I'm glad that now they know more about it. And I feel like I have taught them more about it too.
Yeah. It sounds like they're wonderfully supportive parents. And it also sounds like they're very proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever considered inviting them to come to a conference with you?
Yeah, actually my dad went to the first two with me because I had never been to one and I didn't like the idea of traveling by myself at first in a place I did, and also I didn't know anyone at the conference, so my dad went with me. I want my mom to go to one, so I'll try. I'll try to get her to come to one if she wants to. But I think it'll be a really good opportunity for her to talk in the panels if she wants, and to meet other people who stutter. But my dad went the first two times with me, and I think he really enjoyed it, and he saw that perspective, and he heard from other people who stutter, like, you know, what you shouldn't do, and I think he went to some parent panels too. So,
Wonderful.
So that was, I think it's always nice to come into the world of stuttering, and it can be. I'm sure it can be overwhelming, especially for people who don't stutter, being in a place where there's 500 to 800 people who stutter. Like
exactly.
Like, that's why the first two times I was like, can you please come with me? Because I don't know anyone. And I don't know if I can be there by myself if I don't know anyone. But now that I know a lot of people, I feel more comfortable being there. But yeah, I think it's a great experience that all people who stutter and their families should try. And I like to see other like spouses, parents, siblings. That's really cool to see. If I had siblings, I would have probably taken them there. Like, no, you have to come with me to this. I promise it'll be fun.
Now, you mentioned, you know, not having met anybody else and then, you know, finding the community. There's amazing people in the stuttering community, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's amazing because the friendship just comes very naturally because I don't have to have the awkwardness of, you know, me having a bad block or something when I'm trying to talk to somebody, because we don't have to tell people, oh yeah, by the way, I have a stutter. Like, we know,
right?
That's what we're all here for. So right. I found that making friends in the community is a lot easier, and there's not the stuttering holding you back,
right?
So and it's an amazing community because there's people that I have not formally met, but I see them at the conference every year. I'm like, I sort of know you because I've seen you at the conference. I haven't actually talked to them, but I know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I made so many Facebook friends. I think it was after 2019 or 2020, I had this whole like 10,000 requests. I was like, yes.
Yeah, right. It's great to stay connected, you know,
throughout the year. It's always nice. Yeah. And it's always nice to be like, hey, how's it going? Like, for example, Mr. Steven, I love talking to him. We both have black cats. So we're like, yes.
There you go.
So like the whole awkwardness of like stuttering or having to disclose, you don't have to do that because no matter how bad your stutter is, people won't be like, what is happening? So I feel that it's a great community because we all have that thing in common. And I think I'm glad I was able to find it now because I was sad that I found it until I was 19, but I'm thankful I've had it these past 4 to 5 years. So while I wish I would have found it sooner, especially as a child, I'm glad I can start to rebuild that now and hopefully help children or teens who stutter. I would like to be a mentor for them and like say, you know, it'll be okay. There'll be times that it'll be hard, but it will be okay. So that's my goal, is to become a role model. And I think I've already become a role model, like you said. But yes. So it's always better late than never. Because I've heard people that were in their 40s or 50s who just found out about it. So, it does make your life a lot easier. So I think even though it's not fair to me that I found out about it 10 years after I started stuttering, it better late than never. And it's also nice to have that, to know that it won't go away. It's here.
Mm-hmm. And it's just only a tiny, tiny little part of us. There's so many other
parts. There's a lot more to you.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, Adriana, this sounds like a perfect way to end because your ending was just so inspiring. Like, you want to be a mentor, you know, you want to be a role model. And, you know, even though I said you're already that, you know, because you can relate to youth and young adults, you're going to do that. You're going to go places and you're going to help parents.
Yes.
Because you know the importance of helping educate parents, you know, because not everybody is lucky enough to be able to bring their children to an NSA conference, you know, like, I wished I'd known about that when I was a kid, you know, but, you know, you're going to be able to do that too, you know, be a role model and a mentor to everybody across the age span.
Yeah. Thank you for having me again. I really like to share my stuttering story whenever I can. And I'm excited to talk on the webinar on the 28th. So
Well,
stay tuned for that.
Yep. I will absolutely make sure that I mention that in the show notes for this podcast episode. And again, Adriana, thank you so much for being a guest. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Yeah. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.